Lesson 66, Mosiah 26. Introduction. During Mosiah's reign, many of the rising generation, those who were children at the time of King Benjamin's final discourse, did not believe in the teachings of the church and refused to call upon the Lord. These unbelieving youth influenced other members of the church to commit serious sins. Many of these transgressors were brought before Alma, the leader of the church. Alma did not know what to do at first, but he asked the Lord for guidance on how to judge the disobedient members. The Lord revealed the process that Alma should follow in holding members of the church accountable for their sins. Suggestions for teaching. Note: Teaching Youth. President J. Reuben Clark, Jr. of the First Presidency taught, quote, "The youth of the church are hungry for things of the Spirit. They are eager to learn the gospel, and they want it straight, undiluted. You do not need to disguise religious truths with a cloak of worldly things. You can bring these truths to them openly." End quote. From the Charted Course of the Church in Education, pages 3 and 9. Mosiah chapter 26, verses 1 through 6. Many of the rising generation do not believe in the gospel and lead others to commit sin. Have students imagine what it would be like to be the bishop of a ward with members who have committed serious sins and are unrepentant. Ask students to silently ponder what they would do in this situation. What problems could arise if you did nothing to address the actions of these church members? Explain that Alma, the leader of the church, faced a similar challenge. As students study Mosiah 26 today, encourage them to look for principles and doctrines that help them better understand the role of priesthood judges, such as bishops and branch presidents, and for Melchizedek priesthood holders, stake, district, and mission presidents. Also ask them to look for principles and doctrines about seeking forgiveness. Invite a student to read Mosiah 26, 1 through 2 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for a choice many young Nephites made. What choice did many of the rising generation make? They chose not to believe the traditions of their parents. Invite a student to read Mosiah 26, 3 through 6 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for the results of the unbelief of many in the rising generation. What were the results of their unbelief? Consider the following statement, quote, "It became expedient that those who committed sin, that were in the church, should be admonished by the church," end quote. See Mosiah 26:6. What do you think this means? It was necessary for church members who had sinned to be judged and held accountable. Mosiah chapter 26, verses 7 through 32. Alma seeks and receives the Lord's guidance on how to judge those who commit sin. Summarize Mosiah 26, 7 through 12 by explaining that those who had sinned were brought before Alma. Nothing like this had happened before in the church, and Alma did not know what to do. He decided to send transgressors to King Mosiah to be judged. King Mosiah returned them to Alma and instructed Alma that he should judge church members who had sinned against the laws of the church. As king, Mosiah would judge those who committed crimes against the laws of the land. Invite a student to read Mosiah 26:13 aloud. Ask the class to look for how Alma felt about his responsibility to judge those who had sinned. When Alma felt troubled about his duty to judge the transgressors, what did he do? Invite a student to read Mosiah 26:14 through 19 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the Lord said that might have brought comfort to Alma. What words or phrases might have brought comfort to Alma? Why? Summarize Mosiah 26:20 through 28 by explaining that Alma learned that in the Lord's church, the Lord sets the conditions for who shall be received into church membership. See verses 20 through 22. Alma also learned that because the Savior suffered for the sins of all people, the Savior sets the terms on which we may receive forgiveness for our sins. See verses 22 through 23. Write the following verse numbers on the board: 29, 30, 31, and 32. Explain that Mosiah 26, 29 through 32 contains multiple principles that help us understand what we must do to receive forgiveness for our sins. Invite a student to read Mosiah 26, 29 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the Lord said that people must do to be forgiven. What is the meaning of the phrase, "Confess his sins before thee and me"? You may need to point out that in this verse, the word "thee" refers to Alma, who was an authorized servant of the Lord, holding priesthood authority and keys. Explain that the Lord taught Alma that, for there to be complete forgiveness of a major transgression, the sin needed to be confessed twice and forgiven twice. You may want to point out the two different confessions. Quote, "If he confess his sins before thee, the priesthood leader, and me, the Lord." And the two different people needed to grant forgiveness. Quote, "Him shall ye, the priesthood leader, forgive, and I, the Lord, will forgive him also." End quote. What principle can we learn from verse 29 about what we must do to be forgiven of our sins? Students should identify a principle similar to the following. If we confess our sins and repent in the sincerity of our hearts, then we will be forgiven. Write this principle on the board next to verse 29 and invite students to consider marking the phrases in this verse that teach this principle. When someone has committed a serious sin, why do you think the person is required to confess to the Lord and to the appropriate priesthood leader? Explain that bishops and branch presidents hold priesthood keys to help those who have sinned seek forgiveness. While only the Lord can forgive sins, priesthood leaders play a supporting role in helping people receive that forgiveness. They keep all the confessions confidential and help those who confess throughout the process of repentance. Invite a student to read aloud the following statement by President Boyd K. Packer of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Quote, "Jesus Christ has prescribed a very clear method for us to repent and find healing in our lives. The cure for most mistakes can be found by seeking forgiveness through personal prayer. However, there are certain spiritual illnesses, particularly those dealing with violations of the moral law, which absolutely require the assistance and treatment of a qualified spiritual physician. If you awake to a sense of your awful situation, see Ether 8:24, and wish to return to full spiritual health, see your bishop. He holds the keys and can help you along the pathway of repentance." End quote. From Boyd K. Packer, The Key of Spiritual Protection, Ensign or Liahona, November 2013. Explain that if students have questions about which sins should be confessed to the appropriate church leader, they should speak with their bishop or branch president. What do you think it means for someone to repent, quote, "in the sincerity of his or her heart," end quote, from Mosiah 26:29? Invite students to read Mosiah 26:30 silently, looking for another principle about repentance and forgiveness. Ask students to report what they find. Write the following principle on the board next to verse 30. As often as we repent, the Lord will forgive us. Invite students to consider marking this principle in their scriptures. How could this principle comfort someone who is struggling with a particular sin? How might someone try to twist this truth to mean something different than it does? You might clarify that it is wrong to use this truth to justify the attitude that says, "It really doesn't matter if I sin, because I can always repent." This attitude mocks the suffering and price paid by the Savior to atone for our sins. Invite a student to read Mosiah 26:31 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for a principle about repentance and forgiveness that is also a warning. Ask students to report what they find. Write the following principle on the board next to verse 31. If we choose not to forgive others, then we bring ourselves under condemnation. Invite students to consider marking this principle in their scriptures. Why do you think it is important for us to forgive others? How are repenting and forgiving others connected? Invite a student to read Mosiah 26:32 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the Lord told Alma to do with transgressors who chose not to repent of their sins. Invite students to report what they find, and write the following principle on the board next to verse 32. If we choose not to repent of our sins, then we will not be numbered among the Lord's people. Explain that not being numbered among the Lord's people, referred to today as excommunication, is the most serious possible outcome of church discipline. Church leaders carefully consider many factors before excommunication or any other form of church discipline takes place. In addition to considering how serious the transgression is, church leaders consider the various purposes for church discipline: to help a person repent, to protect those who would be negatively affected by a person's actions or the spreading of that person's beliefs, and to protect the integrity of the church's teachings. How do you think excommunication, or any other form of church discipline, could help a person? As you discuss how excommunication or any other form of church discipline can help a person, consider inviting a student to read aloud the following statement. Quote, "Church discipline is an inspired process that takes place over a period of time. Through this process and through the atonement of Jesus Christ, a member can receive forgiveness of sins, regain peace of mind, and gain strength to avoid transgression in the future. Church disciplinary action is not intended to be the end of the process. It is designed to help Heavenly Father's children continue in their efforts to return to full fellowship and the full blessings of the church. The desired result is that the person make whatever changes are necessary to repent completely." End quote. From Church Disciplinary Councils, True to the Faith, a Gospel Reference, page 38. Invite a student to read Mosiah 26:33 through 34 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what Alma did after the Lord taught him these principles of repentance and forgiveness. According to these verses, what helped Alma judge the members of the church according to God's will? The commandments of God and the word of the Lord. Point out that Alma wrote down the words of the Lord so that he could preserve them and refer back to them. Explain that priesthood leaders receive guidance on how to help members of the church repent, including how to administer church discipline by studying and understanding the commandments of God contained in the scriptures and the words of the prophets. By following guidelines given by the First Presidency and Quorum of the Twelve, and by receiving inspiration and revelation from the Lord. This guidance allows priesthood leaders to provide personalized help to a sinner, while also protecting innocent people and the integrity of the church. Mosiah chapter 26, verses 33 through 39. Alma obeys the Lord's counsel, judging those who have sinned and bringing order to the church. Explain that Mosiah 26:33 through 37 recounts how Alma followed the Lord's instructions, judged the church members who had sinned, and brought order to the church. Invite students to read Mosiah 26:35 through 37 silently, looking for the results of Alma's efforts to follow the Lord's counsel. Ask students to report what they find. Share your testimony that as we repent and live righteously, we can have peace in our hearts and prosper spiritually. Invite students to review the list of principles on the board. Ask them to ponder and to write in their class notebooks or study journals how they might apply these principles in their lives. Encourage them to act immediately on any promptings they may receive to repent, so that they can be forgiven and enjoy the peace that Heavenly Father wants them to experience. Commentary and background information. Mosiah chapter 26, verses 29 and 30, The Essential Elements of Repentance. Elder Richard G. Scott of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles taught about the essential elements of repentance. Quote, Spencer W. Kimball gave a superb guide to forgiveness through repentance. It has helped many find their way back. He identified five essential elements of repentance. Sorrow for sin. Study and ponder to determine how serious the Lord defines your transgression to be. That will bring healing, sorrow, and remorse. It will also bring a sincere desire for change and a willingness to submit to every requirement for forgiveness. Abandonment of sin. This is an unyielding, permanent resolve to not repeat the transgression. By keeping this commitment, the bitter aftertaste of that sin need not be experienced again. Confession of sin. You always need to confess your sin to the Lord. If they are serious transgressions, such as immorality, they need to be confessed to a bishop or stake president. Please understand that confession is not repentance. It is an essential step, but it is not of itself adequate. Partial confession by mentioning lesser mistakes will not help you resolve a more serious, undisclosed transgression. Essential to forgiveness is a willingness to fully disclose to the Lord, and where necessary, His priesthood judge, all that you have done. Restitution for sin. You must restore, as far as possible, all that which is stolen, damaged, or defiled. Willing restitution is concrete evidence to the Lord that you are committed to do all you can to repent. Obedience to all the commandments. Full obedience brings the complete power of the gospel into your life with strength to focus on the abandonment of specific sins. It includes things you might not initially consider part of repentance, such as attending meetings, paying tithing, giving service, and forgiving others. I would add a sixth step, recognition of the Savior. Of all the necessary steps to repentance, I testify that the most critically important is for you to have a conviction that forgiveness comes because of the Redeemer. It is essential to know that only on His terms can you be forgiven. End quote. From Richard G. Scott, Finding Forgiveness, Ensign, May 1995. Mosiah 26, verse 29. If he confess his sins before thee and me. The following statement clarifies which types of sins must be confessed to a priesthood leader as well as to the Lord. Quote, we must confess all our sins to the Lord. In addition, we must confess serious sins, such as adultery, fornication, homosexual relations, spouse or child abuse, and the sale or use of illegal drugs, which might affect our standing in the church, to the proper priesthood authority. If we have sinned against another person, we should confess to the person we have injured. Some less serious sins involve no one but ourselves and the Lord. These may be confessed privately to the Lord. End quote. From Gospel Principles, page 111. Supplemental Teaching Ideas, Mosiah chapter 26, verses 29 through 32. Those who confess their sins and repent will be forgiven. To help students analyze the principles they identify in Mosiah 26, 24 through 32, present the following situations. Invite students to share how the verses they have studied today may help the people in these situations. Number 1. A young woman has committed a serious sin, but is afraid to speak with her bishop. Number 2. A young woman repeats a sin she has previously committed and worries that the Lord will no longer forgive her. Number 3. A young man decides to repent, but refuses to forgive someone who has offended him. Mosiah 26, verses 29 and 30, video presentation, Atonement. Not a one-time thing. To help students further understand and feel the truth and importance of the principles they identified in Mosiah 26, 29, and 30, consider showing the video Atonement, Not a One-Time Thing, which is available on LDS.org.